Welcome back to, yeah, that's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Football on Off the Ball.
There is no template for success in a big tournament. Some teams start well, finish well. Other teams start dreadfully and finish very, very well. There is no template. In this particular case, though, it couldn't have gone much better than it did last night for England.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Welcome to tonight's Late Night League of Ireland with myself, Shane Keegan, and I have a new co-host with me tonight, but we'll keep you in suspense for a little bit while we run through the score lines first before I introduce him. In the League of Ireland Premier Division, 34 goals across 10 games in total, folks. In the League of Ireland Premier Division, we had Drogheda 2, Shelburne 2 in a game that swung to and fro. Galway with a big 2-1 win at home to Derry, home being Pearse Stadium, of course, tonight. No doubt that will pile further pressure on the management up at Derry. St. Pat's with a late goal at Sligo. Nil all after 90 minutes, but somehow 2-0 by the time the final whistle went. Shamrock Rovers overcoming what could have been a sticky one, heading down to a resurgent Waterford, but coming away with a 2-0 win there. And in what was, for my money, well, I've only watched one game. How do I know if it was the game of the night? But it looked to me like the performance in the game of the night. Bohemians 1, Dundalk 2, massive win for them. Goals galore in the first division as well. Athlone 2, Wexford 2. Bray with a comprehensive 5-2 win at home to Longford, who, to be fair to Longford, had their goalkeeper sent off very early in the game. Cove Ramblers coming from conceding a surprise goal early on, but bounced back really well to win 3-1 against Finn Harps. Cork City, as you might have expected, with a comprehensive 3-0, I love the word comprehensive, don't I, with a big 4-0 win against Treaty United. And the shock of the night in the first division. An ever-improving Kerry, in fairness to them, they've been getting better and better in recent weeks. Coming away with a big 1-0 win, coming out of the UCD ball with a 1-0 win that very much puts them in the promotion playoff spot hunt. So, yeah, goals galore. I was watching the game on TV, which I think was an absolute cracker, to be honest with you, between Bohemians and Dundalk. One that came out very much on top, Dundalk came out very much on top. Our new voice is League of Ireland fan, and I can only assume he works in Off the Ball. He follows the League of Ireland. Therefore, there really is only one team he's allowed to follow, isn't it? You're all Bohs in there, Dan, aren't you?
Yeah. Shane, what's the story? I've just come from Daly Mount Park myself. You were watching it on the TV. I think you're right. I think it was a cracker of a game. Not very much for Bohs. I mean, if you're a Dundalk fan, you're extremely happy with that. King Kenny, I was having a look at Virgin Media at some of the goals at some of the action in the second half, because I couldn't believe how flat-footed Bohs were, and I had to sort of go back and have a watch, and they're calling him King Kenny, Owen Kenny, who was absolutely outstanding tonight for Dundalk, you have to say, and grabbing that winner for them as well. But another really poor performance and results for Bohs, having been beaten really, really heavily up in the Brandywell last week. Or not the Brandywell, but Celtic Park.
Yeah, and started well, Dan, didn't you? Like, he started exactly as I would have expected you to start, given how last week's game went. I thought you were really, really bright in the early stages, really bright, and then got that reward early on with an absolute bullet of a header. But once Dundalk got into it, it's probably fair to say that after that initial 15-minute spell, they were probably the better side.
They were absolutely the much better side. And quite like, look, I mentioned the game in Derry last week. Quite like how that went and, you know, how Bohs took the lead, you know, up there. And just, I don't know what it is, to be honest with you, Shane. It just, things just seem to capitulate, or they're not... maybe capitulate is the wrong word, but they're not able to capitalize on taking a lead. Everything just turns very slow. And it was very much like, I wouldn't even say after, like, Bowes had a good strong, I'd say maybe 5 to 10 minutes, and, you know, then just, they were second best to everything, Shane. I felt that Ross Tierney was, you know, pretty off it tonight. There was a really confusing substitution in the.
I had that ready to go. I was going to throw that at you. I assume you're talking about Harry Vaughan.
Yeah, Harry Vaughan going off. I couldn't believe my eyes with Harry Vaughan, because the only player really out there that was bringing a bit of spark and trying to bring a bit of life into Bowes. And look, I know Douglas James Taylor, he's battling with injury half the time, and he's trying to protect himself and keep himself fit, but I think he stands off an awful lot. I think he's very slow. He doesn't challenge enough, I don't think. And that showed tonight. A really poor performance from Bowes, and, you know, boos of the full time whistle from their supporters as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Harry Vaughan one, Dan, and I don't know, like, you have to be looking at that and saying, but it must be fatigue or an injury concern, or maybe, I don't know, the boys using live GPS and are they seeing a drop off? Like, because nothing that my eyes were viewing was telling me that taking him off was the right move. I thought he was your best player by a distance.
Particularly replacing him with Connor Parsons as well. I couldn't get my head around the value of that substitution. I couldn't understand it at all.
Yeah, and listen, again, just flipping it to Dundalk, I mean, seems to be a case almost every week at the moment that we're talking about a potential goal of the season contender, but that is right up there again. I mean, the pirouette on the edge of the 18, the little shift in between then before the shot, and it was an all-round excellent performance by him, wasn't it?
And it really was. And look, like, what you have to remember, like, as good as an attempt and as good as a shot it was, he had an awful lot of work to do to get around the Bowes defence as well, to get that shot off. And he did really, really well to do that. I think you're definitely right there, Shane. Definitely goal of the season contender anyway.
Yeah, we tend, for whatever reason, we haven't had too many Dundalk callers on the show so far this season. It would be great if we have any Dundalk listeners, if they jumped on and had a chat, because, you know what really struck me tonight, particularly when they went back to studio and they were talking to Keith and Conan and that, like, this is starting to look like, I know this sounds like I'm getting carried away, maybe I'm getting carried away a little bit, but this is starting to really, really look like what happened with Stephen Kenny, in that there's so many players in that Dundalk team who weren't wanted elsewhere, and had, you know, they've been around the league, they've been doing okay here, but maybe not well there, sitting on the bench here. And he's just kind of pulled this group of players together that, as I say, wouldn't really, you know, none of the names he brought in would be big names, a lot of them not regular starters. He's got them absolutely flying. I mean, pulling Tehan out with Kerry when most people didn't know who he was. I thought he was excellent tonight as well. It helps that they've got the one or two young lads coming through. I mean, to get that win tonight without a Ruby as well. Now, to be fair to Mullen, he's unlucky not to have come with a hat-trick. He got himself in some very good positions. But Ruby has been one of the best players this season. And obviously, I think he had a few fitness concerns, wasn't able to start. He's doing some job killer, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you mentioned, you touched on Mullen there as well, Danny Mullen. He was absolutely outstanding tonight, and it was really unfortunate he came off with an injury. As a bit of a nasty coming together is a wrong word as well, but the two players challenging for a ball, and he comes off the worst of it with Patrick Hickey. For him, unfortunately, he had to leave the pitch, but he had an outstanding game tonight, Mullen. And you're right, Killer. He's done an incredible job. Like, when Dundalk came up, I don't think many people would have tipped them to do an awful lot, but now you look at tonight, they've just leapfrogged Bowes in the table.
Yeah, no, listen, absolutely. We'll get on to our first caller, Dan. It was it was too much to ask for us to have Marty in good form 2 weeks in a row, surely, wasn't it? Marty, back to the same old, I'm afraid.
Absolutely, Shane. How's the form? And welcome to Dan there.
Thanks very much.
Fill us in, Marty.
Look, it was just the total opposite of what we seen in the second half last week. We came out with a back five with Kevin Dos Santos playing a right wing back. I know we've sold a lot of players, but, you know, like, just to see, just the turn out like that on a big pitch like that was just shocking. And, like, I'm trying to compose myself here, I suppose, a little bit, but just so let down. Like, I wasn't expecting a huge upturn, but to go from having a real goal last week to coming out and playing like that, and we were absolutely terrible. Like, it was probably the worst performance of the season. You could tell in the warm up there was something wrong. Like, you could tell in the warm up just watching lads, they just were going through the motions, head was down. And we played like a Galway Betis, like, where they were 2-0 up, we got a late penalty, we didn't really deserve any goals, but Galway didn't get out of first gear, you know.
But how can that be? Like, your comment about the warm-up, that would, if you had made that comment to me last week, that would have been understandable, Marty. But I mean, that was last week's one of your best results of the season. How can the warm-up still look off, or lads still look off on the back of what looked like it should be a result that should catapult you into a bit of a run of form? Like, it makes no sense.
A couple of things that could have happened, right? So first of all, I'm sure everyone's heard James McLean's selfishness, I thought, to come out after a big win like that and go on national TV, and you know, I thought that was very poor. We four players gone during the week that I'm sure, like, if you're in the squad, you're probably thinking, what the hell is going on here? Like, we've another four players out. Then you've also, you're coming out then, you're being told, oh, Dos Santos, you're playing right wing back, you know, we're playing the back five now, way to Galway, who do not attack you in numbers at all. So it's probably a mixture of those things, I think. It's probably a mixture, you know.
Well, I was going to ask you there, Marty, if you don't mind. Like, I mean, James McLean, like, you mentioned the comments he made in his TV punditry on RTE during the World Cup. I mean, obviously, he got more than the 3 minutes he was moaning about last week. How do you think that he played? And, like, is there a general sense of just him or everybody against the manager at this point?
Well, James McLean got it, yeah, as you said tonight, like, absolutely anonymous. Like, probably the worst player in the league this year, and that's not hyperbole. Like, I think he's probably the worst, definitely the worst Derry player. And then he came over, him and his brother, after the match. We were all on the side clapping the fans. And I won't say what he said, I wouldn't do that to anyone, but, like, he just talked. Well, look, I won't get into personally what he said, but it was a carry on of what he was saying against RTE, and probably worse. So there's definitely a huge rift there, and unfortunately, look, the change, like, I don't know how Tiernan's in the job, and again, something has to give here. I'm out there booking on my flights and all for Sofia there this morning, kind of on a happy buzz after last week, and now I'm thinking, what am I doing? We're going to get murdered over there, probably, like, if this keeps going, like, something has to give, and unfortunately, you know yourself, it's always the manager who falls, you know.
And Marty, tell me, like, you spoke about the four players leaving. Like, surely there has to be massive incomes. There has to be. Like, that's surely clearing some space on the wage bill. With Mark Connolly gone into the role that he's gone in there, is there much talk up there around any potential incomes? Or are you hearing any noises? There has to be new bodies in the building.
And there definitely be new bodies, but, like, we can't keep going on making 5, 6, 7, 8 out, in and out every window, like, you know. So we're just sick of it, like. Like, I thought, like, Depot, really, that really got to me, that one. I thought he was top class. I don't know how we couldn't have made him work. Play him every week as a number 9. I think he would have been up there at the best in the league. So, you know, you're seeing, you can't get attached to any players now. Just, yeah, be gone, you know.
Yeah, and then you see, as I say, you heard myself and Dan probably talking there. We saw a right good performance out of Danny Mullen tonight for Dundalk.
Yeah, like, I was just gonna bring that up. Like, Danny Mullen is one of the best fox in the boxes in that's playing the league in a good while. I don't have the exact stat, but I'm fairly sure he has the best goals to minute ratio since he came into the league. Like, he only ever plays about half a season, and he's always getting 6, 7, 8 goals a year. So. Like, what a player, and why isn't he playing for us? Like Todd, like Diallo, and so many good players around the league. Like, it's crazy, you know. Ronan Boyce sitting on the bench of Pats, and we're dropping Barry Cotter, like, whereas Ronan Boyce did okay for us every week. So it's just, but look, as he said, like, Mark Connolly's in there now, and hopefully it can steady. But the fans were vicious now with the manager tonight. Like, he wasn't sitting too far away from us. And, you know, there was people roaring at him the whole match, F off back to Belfast. And it's gone to a point now where, like, fair enough, I know Philip wanted to give him, Philip O'Doherty, he wanted to give him the, maybe the cup to manage, maybe Europe, so he could turn around, but it's gone way past that, like, you know.
Yeah, of course, you have a short turnaround and a nice handy game Monday night.
Yeah, exactly, like, and I might be the only fan there, and it's handy enough for me living in Dublin, but it's really bad. Like, you know, Galway was normally a bit of a carnival for Derry. You know, you'd have a lot of fans, and tonight I don't think we even hit 50. So something's got to change.
Be very small, do you?
Sorry, Shane.
You reckon travelling support to be very small, do you?
Yeah, well, in fairness, a Monday night anyway. Like, but
yeah,
like, who's gonna, like, it's almost a certain defeat. Like, you know, you'd have to go into the game with that. In fact, I like going because, you know, low expectations is good. Anything else is a bonus, kind of.
I like the positive slant you're putting on that one.
I don't like to get two down, Shane. I'm sitting here on the Salt Hill Promenade looking at the sun go down. So, you know, it's not a bad old light either.
That's not a bad Friday night. I'll dope down.
Yeah,
regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and like, was there any bright sparks from the performance?
Yeah, I like Conor Barnow. I have to say, he's really, really impressed me.
He's been good.
Yeah, he was good again tonight. He's so composed, and so he looks like a future Derry captain if we can hold on to him. But Barnow will probably flog him to Coleraine or something for £5, you know.
will you stay overnight in Galway?
Yeah, I'm staying in the Salt Hill Hotel. Just on my way down to town, actually.
That's the way to do it. Do you expect there to be much travelling support for that game that you're booked in for?
In Sofia, yeah, you probably would. Like, in fairness, it's a lovely country. It looks like a lovely place. So, I'm excited anyway. And it's just like, you know, I don't know, if we go over there and play like we did tonight, we'll be murdered. Like, and you don't want to see that either. So, I don't know what's going to change, but something has to change there for sure.
Yeah, bad need of a couple of results to try and boost the confidence levels before you face into a big one like that. It's a tough, fairly tough draw. Marty, fair play for jumping on. Enjoy the sights and sounds of Galway for the night.
Thanks, lads.
Bye-bye. Good luck to you.
All the best, Marty.
Shane, our most regular of regulars and a great fella to chat to. Shane Hartnell, what you were going to tell me here. Was this a good performance, a bad performance? Is it a positive result? Is it a point won? Is it points dropped? What's your recap of it?
Nah, it's definitely not points won anyway. I just, again, dominated the ball and giving away stupid goals. I think Jordan Glenair half twice in the match and they scored by the last few minutes when it was a bit held and scaled, that type, as Brian Kerr would say. Just dominate them start to finish and you give away another set piece goal and let them back in the game, and then a counter attack, you lose the ball and you're so open. Completely dominate the match from start to finish, and didn't really create a whole lot. Meepo has a great chance, obviously, in the highlights, but that was more from, I think, the American lad. This fella this morning, the second half, he fell on his arse, he did, because of Meepo's pace, he was terrified. But Meepo was 1v1, they should probably score, but it wasn't really like a chance we created. And then after that, like, the best player in the league comes up and saves us again.
Yeah, he's continuing to be absolutely scintillating, that's for sure. But where, like, I can't wrap my head around you, Shane. Like, I genuinely thought that was one of the best performances of the season last year, or last week, last Friday night. I thought you were absolutely excellent. And I was so confident that you'd just roll into town there and continue in that vein of form and come away with it. Like, what's leading to the inconsistency, or what's missing that you're not able to put performances like last week on a more consistent basis?
Well, we had that stupid box midfield again tonight. Absolutely hate it.
You're a big fan of that.
No, it's dreadful. It's awful. Like, and you move the ball around, but you don't really create a whole lot with it, and you leave yourself open. But look, we've conceded about 55 goals in set pieces this season, and we let them back into it again. I think Spiel, looking back on it, I haven't seen it back, but I think Spiel probably could come for it, given that we've got Ali Kew, Meebo, Jarvis, even Ledwidge isn't the biggest centre half. JJ, they're not the biggest of teams against absolute joints. So I'd probably like my keeper to come for it, and I'd rather him come and miss it. Looking closely, it was nearly borderline 6 yard box. So, and Sam Bowen is like, I'll come on here again, and I don't be too critical of him in the league, but he just can't play. He's centre half. Mark Doyle, I don't know if you see the goal again. Is this now?
No, not yet. No.
Mark Doyle, like, it's a counter attack, though, but he has Doyle. And he just runs off him onto the front post, and he lets him run. Like, and he's just not fast enough. And I don't know. I'm not as big a fan. I actually wouldn't mind him, to be honest, in the middle of the back three. Paddy Barrett has an awful game again. He's kind of struggling centre half for me in the three. We lack pace as well. Then on the counter, yeah. Look, we play tidy football. But Meepo goes off injured, lads, after the start of the second half. I don't know if it's been confirmed. As he had a hamstring injury all season, it looks like he done something again. He went down and he didn't look too happy. But our subs didn't really change the game. He brings Dan O'Kelly on, takes Jarvis off when we were kind of had them pinned in, and I just like would have kept him on the pitch. Just could see the shape of goals, lads.
Yeah, literally having a look at that goal, the Mark Doyle goal, as you're talking there, and look, you're obviously going to look at it from Michelle's point of view, from a draw to point of view, it's a super goal. It's a really super goal. Mark, I still think Mark Doyle is underrated, to be honest with you. His movement, you're right, the defender should do better, but if you just look at Mark Doyle's movement in isolation, it's absolutely textbook. It is exactly what you would be doing. Hang on the back shoulder for as long as possible, and then just at the right time, make that run across the centre half. Look, you're right, it should be, the run should be anticipated and should be stopped, but he has done very well there. Dan, have you seen much of Shells yourself this season? What's your read on them?
Well, I was just about to ask Shane there. Look, obviously with Bowes losing two on the bounce now, they're 34 points, Shells only 4 points behind. I was going to ask Shane, with given Shells for like Bowes and Shells are just the inconsistency of their their results this season, is it dreading Monday or confident for Monday?
After the injuries, no, Harry Wood went off holding something in a nice pack or something. Every game we play, I say it, no matter who we play against, I don't want to sound like Michael Owen, but we can win, lose, and draw. And when you're playing against Drogheda, that shouldn't be the case. It's probably confident, while also not confident, if that makes sense. Like, we're good enough to beat anyone on it. I thought Sean Boyd should have played tonight just for that reason, and Meebo on Monday. I think Boydie now looks like he's going to play, but the pitch in Tolga is a bit too big for him. But he doesn't offer us the same threats in Tolga as he would on a small pitch. But again, yeah, Friday, Monday turnaround, it's not really helping the old lads. That the truck came on tonight, that which is good.
We heard from Marty earlier, the Derry City fan, you know, talking about Tiernan Lynch and, you know, whether or not there needs to be change there. There's, I'm just looking at Twitter, the reaction to Bowes fans and losing to Dundalk, and, you know, once again, it's Rennie under pressure. With Shells, is Joey under pressure, do you think, from a Shells fan's point of view?
Nah, not at all. We ain't that type of club. I don't think so. But he also does need to realise this box midfield thing is a lot of nonsense. We actually switched it last week and we won the game. I don't really like it, but you know, he's not under pressure at all. He was around the trot of the match, which rightly so, a lot of fans criticised the performance. More so the performances have actually been really good all season. It's just the stupid goals we give away. It's really poor, but again, you can't keep saying that with saying it's really, it's just how lads are defending. And look, Casey's a massive loss. Spent $100,000 on him to come in. Hopefully he's back soon, because I don't know, he'd Rossi sitting on the bench there tonight, who's a big lad, he's about 6'4" or something, and I know he's leaving, but I would have played him as well. Paddy Barrett goes up at half time. He got yellow carded, and look, yeah, he's not under pressure to answer your question, Dan. No,
Shane, if just to go back to what you mentioned there, like if Meepo is out, if Harry Wood is out, that would be a game changer. There's hardly a team in the league as reliant on an individual at the moment as he or him. So I mean, you'll all be going to bed tonight saying your prayers that's only a small one, and that he's fine.
Look, it's probably something we might have to get used to, because there's going to be big bids for them in July, I'd imagine. So whether we can keep him or not is one thing, but we obviously can't afford to turn down massive offers if he's not going to sign a new contract. So yeah, that's something we're going to have to get used to.
Yeah, fair point on that one. Look, big couple of days, obviously home to Bowes, followed by away to Sligo. What's a fair points tally to be expecting from those two?
I think after drawing tonight, you have to go now and win on Monday if you want to put it in your own hands. You probably could have taken the win tonight. Again, it's disappointing when you see Bowes losing. You probably fancy the catch Dundalk, just everyone expects them to drift away, but obviously at the moment they're not. But if you're chasing them, you're kind of happy. You don't want to let Bowes out of your sights too far, and after them slipping up tonight, given they'll probably go back into the market in July. Yeah, it's disappointing. Like, I don't know how we lost. They were awful. They were really poor. Like, but fair play to them. They hung in and they didn't let us out of sight, and they got their set piece goal, which is what they're known for. Great delivery though. That's what they signed Brandon Kavanagh for. It was an unbelievable cross, but I just don't know about Spiel, to be honest. But yeah, we go Monday. I'm probably happy with our cup draw as well. I know Marty touched on that one for 30, but we're obviously happy with the draw we got. We were kind of 50-50 in the balance. So, yeah, well, look, we could have got Ajax. I don't know how that worked. Bowes kind of got a favourable pot, didn't they? But we didn't get Ajax or that Swedish team. Or not Swiss team. So, yeah, unbelievable draw. And our Pats beat that team last year next to time. So they weren't too great last year. So,
yeah, given your 4 points behind Bowes with a game in hand, there really is a proper 6-pointer on that night at this stage of the season. Just before I let you go, you just mentioned the market in July, so just to throw that at you, is there any talk around the place? Is there any names been bounced? Are you hearing on that side or?
I don't know. I'm never going to say it on here anyways, because if I ever get told that, no one will tell me again. So there's no point in asking me that in the future. But we don't know what happened at the moment, no.
Well, okay, here's a better question for you. In your opinion, what do you need? I'm not looking for specific
I'll answer
names.
That one already, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll answer that one already. I don't know where Casey is, but we need a centre-half. Rossi'd be gone. We need a centre-half, and I don't know what story with Meepo is. If Meepo's goose as well, maybe a striker. Maybe those two, I think, if Meepo's out. Just to keep our players fit, if that's possible at all.
Yeah.
Kind of what we did.
Yeah. Again, fair play for jumping on. Appreciate it.
Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Thanks a million. Talk to you. Dan, we will jump down to the sunny southeast and down to Waterford, and we'll have a quick chat in relation to how the game went down there. Toby is another good man to join us most weeks. Toby, you were in great form last week, a trickier game tonight, and you've come away without the points. How was the performance?
You're right, Dale. How are you?
All good. Yourself?
Grand.
Well, fill us in on that game. What did you make of it?
I thought Rome was outplayed us, to be honest. I thought they really outplayed us. We had the spells, you know what I mean? Like, we had at least 10 or 20 minutes of spells, and it was just, obviously, Rovers just had the defensive game, set up really good. They're always going to be a tricky team compared to Sligo, but look, just, I wasn't expecting 80 from this game. I wasn't expecting 80 at all, so I'm not too disappointed.
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal game for them, Dan, was it? Because they've been on a good little run, they got a brilliant result, and you're looking to keep that momentum. Look, I suppose you have to play Rovers at some stage, but they would have liked to have kept that run going a little bit longer before they ran into a team like Rovers, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely, and especially when you start picking up points here and there, you had the the sort of the two wins either side of a draw and what is it, two losses. But it's a tricky one for Waterford because of just how badly, I suppose, they started the season, and you know, trying to somewhat steady a ship and maybe try and, you know, sort of pull back on Sligo a bit. They're not too far away from them now at this point, so that would have been a you know, a big loss for them there tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Look, you said Toby that you weren't expecting a huge amount from tonight. The problem is, you know, it's hard to expect a huge amount from next week either. You're away to Dundalk. They're obviously absolutely flying. You start to run out of games following week. I'm looking here briefly. Following week, you're away to Derry. I know Derry aren't exactly flying, but at the same time, it's a long journey. It's still another tough one. Like, I've been really impressed with G since the new manager has come in, but with games running out, is it going to be too little too late? Can you hear me, Toby? Can you still hear me, Dan?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, yeah.
Toby, have we lost you, Toby? Are you on mute for anything, no?
I think he seems to be on mute, yeah.
He's disappeared on us. Toby, come back to us again if you get a chance. We'll get the other side of the coin from the same game anyway. So we will, Dan. We've got Mark Turner, I think, who is a Rovers fan and has jumped on with us a few times. Mark, how are you keeping? Can you hear us, Mark?
Everyone's on mute tonight.
The gremlins are kicking in again tonight. We're going too well for a
long time. Can you hear me?
Now we have you. How are you, Mark?
All good.
Good. Mark, fill us in. Did you travel down or were you watching it on TV?
I was watching it at LOI TV, but like, I'm happy with the win, right? But yeah. I just don't know how we can't finish teams off earlier than we do. Like, it's frustrating. Like, I thought, like, we had a very good first half. We should have been up 2-3-0. But we just can't finish teams off, which is very disappointing. And we're leaving ourselves in a position where Waterford could have scored a goal and then it's back to 1-0. But we got the second goal. Happy days. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I would have said similar about you last week. I know you lost the game last week, but I actually thought you were very good and quite competitive in it. But past this comment on the night, there was three or four absolutely superb balls. Graham Burke at one stage, Dylan Watts, Subawali, Enda Stevens late on. Absolutely superb balls put into the box and nobody in there getting on the end of what would have been a tap-in. You need one or two lads in that kind of nine position. I know you've got plenty of options, but none of them have really stuck their hand up and made the jersey their own so far, have they?
No, not really. Like, Michael Leone came on tonight, played well, scored a great goal. McGovern isn't really doing it, but I still think he has a lot of potential. And Greener is obviously fucking, he's mid-30s now, so like, he's probably not the player for us at the moment, but I still love Greener, so I still think he does a job for us. But we need to sign a striker, I think. Oh, I don't know what's happening with Gaffney, so we need to sign a striker.
Yeah, I was really surprised that Noonan didn't start for you tonight. I thought he'd be nailed on to get a start there. Is there something going on in the background? Are you hearing that in relation to, like, is it a potential move that's reducing his minutes, or is he just out of favour at the moment in terms of the starting 11?
No, he's not out of favour at all. I just think he's managing his minutes at the moment. So, like, but Noonan's a big player for us, like, and he's just managing his minutes at the moment, so like, that's it. Like, but I still think we need to sign a striker. We don't know whether Neil is going to go in the summer. We don't know what's happening there. Gaffney doesn't look like he's coming back, so like, we just need to fucking sign a striker big time.
Anybody in particular you'd encourage Bradley to go after?
Well, I think Afolabi's coming in. That's the rumour anyway. So, like, yeah, I like to look at Afolabi. So, we'll see if does that happen. But, I like McGovern as well. I like Reina. So, the more we get up there, the better. Do you know what I mean? So, we'll see what happens there.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Rovers, in the past went in for Afolabi. Did he fail a fitness test for you before?
I'm not too sure. He's from Tala, isn't he?
I stand to be corrected on that, but I do.
There was rumors of signing him a couple of years ago, but like, I really don't know whether he failed the fitness test. I really don't know.
Okay.
He was.
I mean, it just comes to show you as well. You were talking about, you know, not finishing, teams off, and you need to be more clinical and so on. But like, I mean, you started doing badly, and despite the loss last week, that, you know, you're still 5 points clear at the top of the table.
Oh yeah, listen. Like last week, we should have beaten Shells. I think personally, we should have beaten Shells, but we didn't, and we got caught out with a goal. McGinty should have done better, but. The lesser teams, we should be finishing them off earlier than we are, and it's leaving us in a position where we could get the goal there when we are winning it up. It would have been 1-1 there, and we're in a great position, do you know what I mean? So I just want to be going 2-3-0 up if possible, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, given Derry's problems at the moment, you'd be very confident heading into Monday night, and I mean, that is the kind of game where you'd be hoping that they would be able to deliver and maybe give you that comfortable win that you're looking for, Mark.
Hopefully. But listen, I'm happy with how things were going. We're top of the league. We have a Maltese team in the fourth round of the Champions League, which is going to be tough, but we have to be happy at the moment. But I still want to see better from Rovers going forward. So hopefully we kick on now and just push on, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, fair play. Thanks a million for jumping on.
Take it easy, lads, right?
Fair play. Dan, we will jump down to the first division for a bit of a look, so we will. Cian, who is a Cork City fan, is a good man. We have probably two. There's only really Cian and Seagull tend to be our usual callers for the first division. It's great to have them on to keep us up to date with the goings on down there. Cian, how are you? Can you hear me, Cian?
Yeah, sorry.
There you are. Good man. How are you getting on?
I'm all good, yourself?
Good. Very big win tonight. Happy enough?
Yeah, I think we can hand over the first division trophy, can we?
Oh, jeez, I'd say we could have given you that before a ball was kicked.
For the unimpressive, you know, first division winners.
No, miles better. To put the icing on the cake, the young fella got a cracker for you as well.
I'm not surprised he got man of the match again.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, all the two goals for Hans were him. Hans' first one, if you watch it back, there's two balls in it that he has no right to win. He wins it back, he has no right to win it. Then he almost lost it, wins it back again, and puts it on the player for Hans.
There's another young man in there
as well at centre back, Donal O'Connor.
Oh, I haven't come across him at all yet. Decent.
Yeah, playing the last two games. Yeah, I'd say he'll keep his spot now because Fiacre Gallagher was out tonight again and he was fantastic again, like filling in there.
Very. At what age is he?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to look at his age. I'm trying to find it. I think he might be 18 or 19.
Okay. And tell me, in relation to Murphy, you've had a few absolutely cracking young fellas come through in the last couple of years. Where does he rank in comparison to the others that have passed through you in the last couple of years?
Probably the top.
Really?
Probably a couple of levels above the others, yeah.
That's big talk.
Yeah, it's just his physicality. He's probably stronger, quicker as well, and he kind of doesn't make wrong decisions.
And what do you make of the talk down around the place? Is Myler off? Was Myler in the? Were you at the game tonight? Is Myler in the dugout? Is he not in the dugout? I heard talk he was gone. Is he officially gone? Has there been that said by the club?
No, I couldn't make it. The spot was a bit thick, but he was on Sky Sports News doing some interview for Hull this morning. But so I presume he's gone.
That probably would be a good indication. All right,
I think he was a strange one, yeah, because he came in and we found that we were told that he was too good to not give the job, but we couldn't give him the manager's job, something silly like that. So it was a strange one when he came in anyway.
That is a bit of a strange one. The last time we were talking to you,
sorry, when he came in, he was too good not to keep or give the job, the assistant job, something like that. But then when we had no manager, he wasn't good enough to get the job. So yeah, it didn't make any much sense.
Yeah, I get you. Last time we were talking to you, even though you were top of the table, there still seemed to be a bit of discontent down around the place, and people giving out about the style of football or the performance. I mean, you're flying it lately. Surely everybody has to be fairly happy down there now. You're banging them in as well. Like, it's what, 4 goals in 2 of your last 3 games, performances. The place has to be in good form down around there, is it?
I think July will tell a lot. I have to go flying top of the first division, but we know better than anybody the difference between the top of the first division and that scrap at the end of the Premier Division. There's a good couple of levels between them.
We
want to stay up with the squad, like, unless we make signings.
And would you like to go and see them get that work, that business done now, to give them a bit of time to bed in before the start of the new season?
Yeah, I think particularly in centre midfield, because Greg Baldwin's another year older next year. Even though he's been fantastic this season, but like, how much can his legs take? And that's the big loss in the middle.
Yeah, you see, there's 2 arguments for that one. I've been in the manager's shoes. There's 2 arguments. You can make the argument that you're wasting money that you could use if you held on to it, in the sense that you're going to win the first division anyway. So is there much point in paying 2 or 3 fellas a wage that maybe they weren't required? But look, on the flip side, you're right. You want to hit the ground running next year. You don't want to have the month or 2 of them having to bed in. You want them having done all that work already, don't you?
Yeah, and the ones that are left over at the end of the season are the ones that, you know, that can't get a club higher up the table. The ones that are left over at that stage, you want to be signing them up now or giving them deals now.
Yeah, fair point. Dan, do you get to keep much of an eye on the first division at all?
I try to. I'm always interested in Kerry, actually, to be honest with you. I'd love to. It's kind of like the sort of the underdog story, isn't it? But I was going to ask. I was going to ask Keane, in terms of, look, you know, a runaway side winning the first division and promotion back to the top flight for next season. In all honesty, Keane, can I ask you where you see this side? And okay, look, you know, natural enough that you know, make additions in the off season or whatever in advance of the Premier Division. But where do you think you fare in the Premier Division at the moment?
I think if we make a couple of experienced Premier Division signings, we could be okay. I think they probably had the last couple of times we seem to go for these loan players from the likes of Preston or these types, and it's just a completely different league, as you all know. It's a more physical league. It's, you're bringing a young guy from Preston, he's 19 or 20, into a relegation scrap, and they can't handle it. Like tonight in the first half, we looked like the team that were bottom of the table. If you perform like that in the first half in the Premier Division, you're going to get walloped, depending on who you're playing.
Even with a 4-0 win?
In the first half, we were probably kicking themselves, but they weren't 2 or 3-0 up at half time.
Right.
I think Kerry Lyons cleared one off the line. They had 1 or 2 more chances they probably should have put away. The second half, we turned it on, obviously, we beat them well, but I suppose that's just the levels. But yeah, if you play like that in the first half of the Premier Division, you're probably out of the game by half time.
Just looking online here, Keane, just, you've got piqued my interest on this young fella, Donal O'Connor. Yes, it says here he's only 18 years of age, and just this week signed a
new deal. Yeah, 29. Yeah, and he's a big, tall, strong lad as well. But he doesn't look out of place. He's good on the ball. Good defending, and I think he'll keep his place there, hopefully, for the rest of the season. I think Speaker is a bit slow at the back, so you probably need a bit more youth back there with experience.
And again, using you as our bit of a guide to the first division from what you've seen, who's best of the rest? Who do you expect to end up in the promotion relegation playoff?
I think UCD probably. Maybe Harps, and probably, hopefully, Ramblers.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shot for UCD tonight, with Keane mentioned Kerry earlier on. There, big massive result there for Kerry getting the win against UCD tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, crazy. Yeah. Healy's doing okay down there.
Yeah, yeah, no, no, he is. They're definitely improving, that's for sure. Keane, fair play for jumping on.
Cheers, lads.
All the super, best.
Super stuff. Dan, I'm having a look here. Is there any games that we haven't majorly touched on there? I think we've got across the majority of them.
Tonight sounded like I was listening to Steve-O's commentary of the Pats Sligo Rovers game. That sounded like a cracker. I think Stephen's there listening tonight. I wonder if it was the cracker he made it sound like. But it sounded like a really good game out in Richmond Park, I have to be honest with you. A big important win for Pats as well, obviously. To keep themselves up there.
Sligo will be kicking themselves, won't they? To have got to 90 minutes away to Pats and be looking like you're coming away with a point, that'd be an absolute killer. They could have done with that confidence boost, but they could have done with the point and they could have done with the confidence boost, couldn't they?
And absolutely. And you know, some of the lads have spoken about the European games that are going to be coming up now. You know, look, Bows are going to be going to Gibraltar, and I suppose after the last 2 weeks, you look at Bows and go, Jesus, is this going to be one and done for them in Europe? And there's a potential, like, in the next couple of weeks, that they could be down to fifth heading into Europe. You know, they've been leapfrogged by Dundalk there tonight. We mentioned there with Shane earlier on, the Shells fan, that look, they're sort of breathing down our necks a little bit. The Bows obviously go out there to Tolka Park on Monday. Like, this could be Bows down to fifth going to Europe, and that's not a great place for them to be in at all. Just talking about some of the other teams involved in Europe, I think that'll be a pretty big concern for Bows.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have any belief that Pats can mount a proper challenge? I mean, looking at it now, 5 points behind with a game in hand, have they enough about them from what you've seen to actually give Rovers a proper rattle?
I think they do. They just seem to come and go sometimes. Like, obviously two wins on the bounce of them now is quite big, and you know that obviously want to sort of keep that pressure on. But I think Stephen has a really decent squad there at Pats to make that challenge. I mean, I don't think, look, what do we say? Rovers are 5 points clear. I don't think that's going to be the case. You know, I think the Pats can reduce that lead and put the pressure on for sure. No, I definitely think that there is a title charge there, or challenge even.
And given it's the first time we're talking to you, Dan, in terms of the season overall, who's probably, I suppose, what team, if I was to throw it at you, what team has caught your eye the most, and is there any individual player that's caught your eye so far this season?
Well, I mean, it's... like, given how many points they've dropped, and how much they've kept on the top of the table, Rovers are like, to be honest with you, they're the real standard bearer here. You know that they can go and they can lose games here and there, and you know still be you know at the top of the table. It's really, really impressive. What Stephen manages to do there. I'm a little bit more disappointed at Drogheda. I expected them to be a little bit stronger this season. You know, they're falling out to eighth, and you're kind of wondering now, is Kevin going to be a man under pressure? You never know. But it's certainly an interesting season for sure.
Yeah, no, listen, that's for sure, yeah. You're harsh on Kevin Doherty. Jesus, the man deserves a statue up there for what he's doing, I think.
I definitely did, but they just, compared to last season, Shane, I think that they've been really poor, and you would have expected them, you know, to kick on a gear, and I don't think they have this season. Yeah, that probably did sound a little bit harsh on Kev, poor Kev, but no, I just think that they should be sort of way more ahead of, you know, sort of where they are.
Fair enough, I get where you're coming from on it. Yeah, look, I suppose the big winners of the night again, just to go back to it, that performance from Dundalk, they have probably been the most overachieving team so far this season, and yet again that was the case tonight. I just thought the energy levels, the quality of the individual players, players who, as I say, who you know, are probably rebuilding their careers at Dundalk. That's maybe not the right term to use, but certainly fellas who maybe things weren't moving in the right direction for them maybe over the last 12 months, and Kilduff has got them absolutely pouring. How high can they finish?
I mean, I think they could, like, they're not too far off Pats, to be honest. I think, look, I don't think you could talk about them being a title challenger, but certainly in terms of a second place finish, I think they could be well up there, and that'd be a remarkable result for Kieran Kilduff. As you said, you know, I don't think many people expected that they would have had the season that they're having. That'd be a remarkable finish for them if they managed to finish second, and I think they really could if they kicked in.
So just looking at the next 7 days, we've a short turnaround, as we spoke about a couple of times tonight, with two games taking place this Monday evening. Shelburne at home to Bowes, that is a very tasty, and as we said, the big, certainly a six-pointer at this stage of the season, given how close they are to each other. Shamrock Rovers at home to Derry City also on Monday evening. And then if we skip forward to next Friday night, when hopefully we'll have all you guys back on with us, we have Shamrock Rovers at home to Galway, Derry at home to Drogheda, Dundalk at home to Waterford, Bowes against Pats, another tasty Dublin derby there, and Sligo at home to Shelburne. In the First Division, no Monday night games, but they'll be back at it next Friday night. At Lone at home to Finn Harps, Cork City at home to Bray Wanderers, Kerry at home to Longford, UCD at home to Cove Ramblers, and Wexford at home to Treaty United. Dan, I hope you enjoyed your debut.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Shane.
Fair play for jumping on, and thank you very, very much to everybody's listeners. Hope to see you all back next week. Good luck.
Off the Ball Daily.